got this. But what does your heart say? What does your heart say? And see, and that's what God is after, a pure heart. You know? People have lied about me. People have betrayed me. People have, you know, just, you know, treated me a certain kind of way. And God's saying, I see your heart, though. So I want you to search your heart tonight. Because I don't want to see you go for 38 years. I don't want to see you like they're the people that gather, you know, and just, you know, being not other-centered, not worried about their fellow brothers and sisters, so concerned about the blessing that they're deserving. But God, what about me? What about me? See, we got to be other-centered. We've got to, you know, what love is, love unconditionally. See, that's when God's looking in the heart. Are you loving unconditionally? Are you not being prideful? Are you not being boastful? Are you not being envious? See, the heart, God pierces bone and marrow to look into your heart. Mom and dad are like, oh, she's good. She's good. She's, oh, that's my baby, you know? But what's in the heart? So we're doing a pulse check. We're doing a heart check because the Holy Spirit is just telling me that there's so many hearts that the outward appearance looks like everything's okay, but it's not on the inside. So if that's you, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not, you know, that's between you and God. But I want you to search your heart. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the heart, you know, define who you are. If there's hurt, if there's lack of trust, if you had things happen to you, guess what happens? You store it all in your heart. You store it all internally. Everyone thinks that you're fine, but you're not. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's how he works. He operates out of our hearts. So what's the other song you guys are going to do? Let's do that. So as we sing this next song and as we go through this worship, be honest with yourself. No front. This ain't no game. Spiritually is life and death. And if you don't want to continue in the path that you've been on to where you're just going through the motions and you're just trying to fit in, you know, get in and fit in wherever you can, and the people you're trying to fit in and get in with don't even care about you, don't give a rip about you, but you're trying to be a part of that circle, when they'll cut you in a drop of a dime, and they'll drop the dime as they cut you, you know, verbally, physically, whatever, I want you to search your heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Some of you are doing some things that are in the wrong path, that are not in the right, you know, direction. And you're saying to yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I keep, you know, going through this perpetual cycle? Why do I keep living this lie? Why do I keep hurting the people that are closest to me? That's some people are going through that part of this, you know? But I want you to search your heart. Because God is a God of miracles. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of wholeness. God is a God of love. Unconditional love. So I want to break you free of the bondage that you've been in. I want to break you free of this mentality that I just got to be like everyone else just to fit in. Because I'd rather be the oddball. I'd rather be that guy that they're talking about and have peace in my heart, joy in my heart, love in my heart, than be mixed in with the crowd and feel empty and feel just abandoned and lonely. I used to roll 30 deep. And inside I felt like I was all by myself because I knew that these people didn't really have my back. You think, you know, to be surrounded by so many people, to feel so empty and so lost inside. And some of you feel that. Some of you guys feel that and you have no idea why. So, but it starts in the heart. It starts from your heart. So as we worship, I want you to be honest. You don't got to just, you know, just blurt out whatever's going on, but I want you to be honest with yourself because healing starts from within. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenges, peer pressure, trying to live up to people's expectations, I got to do this because this is what they want from me, and you're just spinning your wheels and going through the motions. and you're just exhausting yourself. But first and foremost, just feeling alone. When you go home, when you get in the car, you get, you know, out and go into your bedroom, that empty feeling that you have inside that goes away when social media shuts down and everyone's sleeping and, you know, whatever. Actually, social media never sleeps because that's the bait of the enemy to keep you snared in. But when no one else is around, when you go home and that emptiness that you feel inside, that's the part I'm talking about. So that's where God will meet you where you're at. Just like he did with the man at the pool of Bethesda. He will meet you where you're at. He will search your heart if you diligently seek him. And he will find you and he will say, stand and walk. He'll tell you to stand and walk. See, he's the God of miracles. Let's sing this song. Let's sing this
song. Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. Even when I can't see, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. Oh, and he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. Let faith arise. See the kingdom come, I lift my eyes. For the battle has been won, my God is faithful. And every single word he said is true. Oh,
story. When I was a teenager, I had a really good friend. We used to hang out together, and we'd just go to the mall. We would just kick it together, and just we were tight. We'd work out together, play ball together. And he was like a brother to me. And the things we were doing, we knew weren't right. And I felt like, you know, nobody knows, nobody sees, and what's the big deal? It's just this one time. I began to rationalize with my flesh, and how many of you know that's a bad thing to do, is to negotiate with your flesh to get what it wants. And I began to do this as a teenager and just negotiating. See, I knew the word, which is even more dangerous. And a lot of you guys know the word. I knew the word, and the Bible says it's better to have not known me than to know my word and still go in a direction that you shouldn't go in. And I still did this, and repeatedly. And this really good friend of mine, I'm not going to mention his name, but I remember one time we were going to hang out on a Saturday night, and just like normal clockwork, we were going to go and just, you know, hit, you know, just cruise around, do whatever, doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And for some reason, my mom said, no, you can't go. And I threw a temper tantrum like a little toddler. What do you mean I can't go? You know, it's kind of ugly. It was kind of like that. And I threw the biggest temper tantrum because I wanted to go. My flesh wanted to go because my flesh knew what we were going to do. We're going to go hang out. We're going to go, you know, go to the mall, do whatever, do some things that we're not supposed to do, you know. And I remember getting so angry with my mom, like, you know, this isn't fair, this isn't right. I'm the youngest of six, and all my other siblings could go wherever they want to go, do whatever they want to do, you know. We're going to go smoke crack with vampires. Mom be like, all right, be home by 9, you know, whatever. I'm like, really? Not that extreme. My mom was a praying woman, so not smoking crack with a vampire. But to me, it felt that way. Like, they could do anything, and I can't do anything. How unfair. And I remember just being real, just upset and angry and just, you know, I hate you. I remember saying that, and my mom started to cry, and, you know, because she knew what I was doing wasn't right, and she knew that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I remember I didn't get to go with him, and he ended up going out with some, you know, a couple of the boys, and whatever they were doing that night, for some reason, a cop got behind him and started to chase him. And in his brain, I don't know what he was thinking, but he probably wasn't thinking because he wasn't doing, you know, the things that we're supposed to be doing. So he wasn't thinking right. His judgment was clouded, and that's what happens. See, the enemy tries to judge, you cloud your judgment so that you can't think clearly. So when the siren, the lights went off, he freaked out and hit the gas and started to drive real fast. And, you know, he started freaking out. You know, I don't want to get caught. And long story short, he came to train tracks. And he didn't make it. He tried to outrun the train, and the train just demolished the car and killed everyone in the car. But I had a praying mom. See, I had someone that was praying and interceding for me in the gap. I should have been in that car. According to my flesh, and doing what my flesh wanted to do, because my flesh always got what it wanted. Always. And this one time, my mom said, no. I should have been in that car. I should have been dead with my best friend. So many of you guys, see, flesh, the path of living in flesh, is destruction. And it took me going to my best friend's funeral to see that. That could have been me. That could have been you. What is your flesh saying to you that you have to always, you know, get what it wants? You know, that's why we ought to be led by the Spirit, not our flesh. Would it be led by the Holy Spirit, not our wants? His will, not our will. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And right now, the enemy has some strongholds on some of you. Right now, the enemy has some strongholds on some of you that only God can break. Only Jesus Christ himself can break these strongholds that are on you. Because I promise you, the strongholds that were on me were the reason that I couldn't say no to my flesh. And these strongholds are assignments from the enemy where he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care how he does it. That's his ultimate goal for us. For me, he wanted me dead. He didn't want me to be able to share this message with you, to lead people to Christ, to go out and disciple, to be an example. He didn't want that. And he doesn't want that for you guys either. So, before we go any further, I want you guys to close your eyes, bow your heads. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to have and make that relationship with him. So no one looking around. No one looking around. Because this is the most important relationship you could ever have. Now, if you've already asked God to come into your heart, that's one thing. See, and you've walked in sin, then the Bible says that you are, if you ask for forgiveness, that he is just and righteous to forgive us for our sins. So if you ask God into your heart, and you've walked in sin, and you've done some things that you probably shouldn't have done, you looked at things that you probably shouldn't have looked at, then the Bible says that you ask for repentance, and he searches our heart. But if you have actually turned your back on God, you knew, like I knew the word, and I blatantly turned my back on God. So that's what I'm talking about. Or you never had a relationship with him to begin with. That's who I'm talking to right now. That this is a chance to just ask God to forgive you for that sin. Because sin separates us from God. See, the more I listen to my flesh, the quieter his voice got in my head, and I couldn't hear him anymore. He was always there, but I was drowning him out. So if you have never asked God to come into your heart, into your life, or you've turned your back on him, blatantly knowing what you were doing to just appease your flesh, then I want you to slip your hand up. I want you to raise your hand. I see that hand. Everyone, no one's looking around. This is their moment. I see that hand. See, God is a God of miracle. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of love. But it starts with the heart. See, we're going to go back to the heart thing with the Pool of Bethesda, where the Holy Spirit was stirring. See, the Holy Spirit can stir in this service, but if your heart's not right, you won't receive what he has to receive. Because your heart's blocking, your flesh is blocking. So the Holy Spirit is stirring right now in this service. And if you don't feel a connection, if you don't feel that, you know, what's going on, what am I missing? You got to search your heart. Is there unforgiven sin in your heart that you need to repent? And just say, God, forgive me. And he will meet you where you are at, just like he did the man of Bethesda. He came down and he walked through the multitude of people to search out the heart of that man, and he found him. And he'll do the same thing for you in this service. But it starts with you making that conscious choice. Anyone else? All right, we've got hands that have gone up, and we're going to say a prayer together. So we're going to say this as a family. And if you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. You can say this prayer. But mean it in your heart. And Jesus will meet you exactly where you are at. Let's say this together. Lord God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Even if it was just for me, even if it was just me, you would have done it because you love me that much. Thank you. Please forgive me for my sins. Lord God, search my heart. Anything that doesn't give you honor, help me to remove it. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me. Give me the power, the ability to say no to my flesh. Holy Spirit, help me break the strongholds that that are in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! So let's go back to the strongholds. See, because a stronghold is sin that we just didn't ask God to forgive, that we didn't give to him. And the more we indulge, the more I indulge in that sin, the more of a stronghold it had on me, and the harder it was for me to say no. And to the point to where it almost cost me my life. My very life for my flesh almost cost me because I couldn't say no. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the restraint. I didn't have the discipline to just tell myself, no, Marcus, no. You know what you're doing is not right. You know where you're going is not, you know, godly. No, I didn't have the power to say no. I wanted to ride. It almost cost me everything. For what? We normally just giggled a little bit, laughed, and, you know, just acted stupid, silly. It was nothing life-changing. To this day, what did we do? I don't even remember some of the stupid things we did. But it almost cost me my life just to ride, you know what I'm saying? Just to be down, just to be with my set, just to be with my boys. Almost cost me my life multiple times, actually. Multiple times. So the strongholds that are in our lives is sin that we don't give to God. So when sin manifests in your life, when you kind of sneak it and hide it and be like, no one sees it, you know? I know that sounds weird and whatever, but that's what we do. We get our sin and we kind of hide it. No one sees the sin. It's in my pocket. Woo! Got my sin in my pocket. That's weird too. I'm not going to do that. All right. Stay focused. We hide our sin, not realizing that the more we do that, the more it creates that stronghold, the more we become dependent on it. No matter what it is, it may start innocent. A little lie here, you know, a little peek here. Woo! It starts innocent, it starts small, and the more we indulge it, the bigger it gets, the more of a stronghold it has, the more our flesh says, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. So the key to this is when you see and recognize sin in your life, you recognize it, you give it to God. You say, no. God, you take this. I don't want this. God, you take this. You take this. You take this. So again, what's the last one? So we're going to go into break every chain. And what we're talking about is these strongholds that are in your life. Lying, lust, any addictions, those are strongholds. And these are the chains that God has the power to break in the name of Jesus. You speak to these things in the name of Jesus. You speak to them. I don't want to have this lust anymore. So in the name of Jesus, take this lust from me. And he will. See, the stirring is here right now. And it starts in our heart. So as we do this, as we sing this song, think about the strongholds that are in your life and speak to them so that God can break them, no matter what they are. Let's go.
Such a price, but our redemption, heaven's gates swing wide. Power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, sing it.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
To break every chain, 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 break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, 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 break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
You're the God of miracles.
So we all have assignments. What's your assignment? What are you called to do? What does God put you on this earth to do? You say, I almost missed my assignment. And since that time, I've led over 1,000 people to Christ. I've seen miraculous, healings and miracles that God has done in people's lives. I've seen marriages and relationships restored. I've seen people that turned their back on God, just make him their Lord and Savior over that time. So that was my assignment, to win the lost. And I almost missed it. I almost blew it for my flesh. So I want to ask you, what's your assignment? What is the enemy trying to get you off course from? Because I know it's big. Each and every one of you has an assignment that God is going to use you to do something miraculous and big in your life and the people around you. So because of my flesh, I almost lost it. I almost missed it. So what's your assignment? What's he asking you to do? You may be like, I don't think nothing for me, because we all have an assignment. We all have a call. Jesus said to the disciples, go out and disciple and share my goodness. We all have a call. We are called to share his goodness. What's your assignment? That the enemy, the more demons, the more distractions, 9 times out of 10, the higher the call. I had so many demons that were coming around me that I couldn't see straight. And I thought that it was just me and my flesh, and I'm the man, and I'm doing this. No, the enemy was trying to take me out so that I couldn't fulfill what God had called me to do. So, what's your assignment? Search your heart. Ask him. Why am I here? The song said, I finally know why I'm here, but do you really know why you're here? Or are you just singing the song because it makes you feel good inside? Do you finally know why you're here? Do you get it? To win the lost, souls into the kingdom, to snatch people out of the depths of hell so they don't perish? Or are we so concerned with ourselves and feeling good for ourselves that we're just worried about ourselves? It's a feel-good club. That's what the world has become, a feel-good club. I feel good, you feel good? That's not what it's about. It's about being other-centered and helping your brother, your sister, who's stumbling. Not when they trip, you laugh. You see them, they trip. No. Are we holding each other accountable? Look, I saw what you were doing. I saw what you were going through. Instead of shaming them, are we lifting them up and being like, you know what? I get it, man. I get it. We all make mistakes. You know what? Brush yourself off. God forgives. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Are we healing each other? Are we the one wounding each other? With our words and our jabs and our roasts and whatever. Are we doing? What's your assignment? Are we doing it? Is the church succeeding or is the church failing miserably? You want my opinion? I'm not going to give it. But I know what we can do. I know the potential for each and every one of you guys. This is the time to dust yourself off, lift your head up high. You are a child of God. You are a light on this earth. We are salt. We are made to make a difference. And let's go out there and make a difference. Let's go out there and just change the world. Because we can do that through Jesus Christ who's in us. This crowd right here can change Raleigh. And from Raleigh, just spread on out. We can change the world. But it's up to you to want to do it. We got to get past ourselves and our feelings. How we feel, I don't know how that's going to make me feel. Someone's going to die and go to hell. How do you feel? Really? That's a little blunt, but that's the reality. My friend, I don't know where he went. I don't know if he said a prayer. I don't know how his heart was. My best friend, I don't know if he's in heaven or hell. That's daunting to me. That's concerning to me to know that someone that I care about, I don't know where he's going to spend eternity. And here he was in my sphere of influence, and I could have helped. I could have changed the course. I could have changed the direction for both of us, and I didn't. So who's in your reach that you can change the outcome for where they spend eternity, for their life, and how they're living? That's a lot of weight, it's a lot of pressure, but that's what we're called, that's why we're here, to make a difference in this world. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. You all have a call. We all have a call. Will we accept that call? Will we answer the call that Jesus has put on our life? And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. So, it's not about us. I finally realized that it ain't about me. It took me a while. It ain't about Marcus. As much as I thought it was all about me. And it wasn't. I was just a blip on the radar at that point with that mindset. It's about reaching others, helping others, making that connection, being Jesus with skin on. And that's what it's about. So we're going to sing one more song. Just because we had the freedom to. There's other places that people are persecuted for freedom of expression of their belief and religion. We have the freedom to do it here in the United States, and this is the most docile and just, you know, timid place where people, I have the freedom to, but I don't want to. I don't know. We have the freedom to just worship at his feet, but we don't. So, let's make a difference. Let's change. First, it starts with us. Change starts from the inside out. It starts with us first. Let's be real. You can't go out there and make a difference if you all jacked up in the inside. So this requires for you to get yourself right first. And that's what we're doing now. We're getting right. But I would encourage you guys, once you search your inside, once you search your heart, don't just stop there. Don't just stop there. There's so many people around your influence that you could reach and you can make a difference. At first, they're going to be like, psh. They're going to make all kind of sound effects. And I'm going to beatbox. I don't know. But continue to try. Continue to just be like, you know what? I wish I would have tried more for my friend. I wish I would have tried more for my best friend. I wish I didn't just, you know, go off of how I felt. Because right now, he'd probably be alive today had I not, you know, just given into my flesh. He'd probably be alive today. You know? Imagine us doing this side by side, you know what I'm saying? It's just, but you have the power to change the outcome of the people around you. First, by your own walk and how you show love of God. And then from there, the Holy Spirit does the work, the rest. You don't have to come up with a whole thesis or a whole, you know, sermon or dissertation. Just show God's love. That's all it is. You know what? Respect and love. Just show God's love. Love will break a lot of change and bring the door down so that you can, you know, begin to just minister to them. Just be yourself. But through love. What you guys got? What you got? Go ahead.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, God, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. No. Still unfound, please deny. your foe, steal your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, God, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
So there's people here. There's a handful of people. It's four or five people that don't believe. I don't think this is real, and I kind of never did. These 4 to 5 people are the ones that feel empty inside and have looked in other areas to fill this void, but they don't believe. 100%. 100%. I'm thinking 60-40. 40% that I don't really think this is real. And the Holy Spirit is telling you that. I know the thoughts. I know the plans and the purposes. I know the hairs on your head before you were even born. The Holy Spirit is saying that. You've been looking in the wrong places, looking for the wrong signs. And I love you. This is going to be a bold statement, but if you're in that 4 to 5 people, would you be brave and bold enough to come up front here and stand up front? Because this is spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that this is real. So if that's you, would you come up here up front? Yeah, just give him a little space. This is bold. And I'm not calling you out to shame you or call you out. I'm calling you out because I want to identify so that I can love on you and the Holy Spirit can love on you and we can love on you. There's 4 to 5 people that truly don't believe any of this that's going on right now. In their mind right now, they're like, this is crazy. When is this going to end? When is this going to stop? What are they doing? I'm going to let this marinate for a minute because your eternity depends on this. The lies that the enemy has been telling you have been lies. And I want to pray with you. I want to make a connection with you. Because this, you didn't get here overnight. This isn't something that just happened last week. This has been something that in the back of your heart and mind, you've been doubting this. If that's you, if you're one of that 4 to 5 people, would you come up here so I can pray with you? I'll meet you here. See, the Holy Spirit, just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, he's searching hearts right now as we speak. I'll come down here. Would you come down here, please? Would you let me pray with you if you're already here? Are you here? Would you come here? If you're one of that 4 to 5 people that I'm talking about? It takes guts. All right, I said 4 to 5, so do the math. How many do we need? How many more? 4 to 5, so that we need 3 to 4. Where y'all at? Thank you. Thank you. All right, do the math. That's 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't know. So, here we go. Okay. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's 3. What'd I say, 4 to 5? That's 3. So, yeah. Holy Spirit's patient. You're not waiting, are you? You're not here. Okay, just make sure. What's up? What's up? How you doing? That's 4. What'd I say, 4 to 5? It was really 5. One more person. Now, it takes guts and courage, guys, so I want to applaud you to come up here and just do this. I applaud you, and from this point forth, I'm going to get more involved with you, and just I want to talk with you intimately, one-on-one. We may do this as a group thing together as well. There's one more person. One more person that just, I don't know. Where you at? Come on. Give you a couple more seconds. But I want to work with you guys intimately. one-on-one, so I'm going to get your information, and we're going to talk. We're going to pray right now, but you didn't get here overnight, but we're going to peel back some layers and just see how you got to where you're at, and I want to hear from you first to see where you're coming from, what your, you know, what your belief system is and all that good stuff, but from there, I want to walk through this thing with you. That's my vow, to walk this thing through you, help you navigate through this, to help you just peel back some layers and see why you feel the way that you feel. And we're going to start there. I'm not going to try and force anything on you. I'm not going to try and cram anything down your throat. I promise you, just trust me. We're going to work through this together. And is the fifth person here? Okay. Okay. There it is. So if you guys would, can you guys line up right here so I can pray? Yeah, just make a line right here. And can I get my leaders behind? Just, yeah, come right there and I'll come in front of you. That's awesome. So, see, so God searches the heart. But the reason I wanted to call you guys out here is so that your fellow brothers and sisters could see who they need to be praying for. You know? I want you to see that you're not alone, that we are all here with you. We're praying with you. We love you. We love you. We care about you. And I see my best friend. He wasn't a girl, but you part of this too, but I see four of my best friends that were in that car when the train hit him. That he was lost. He didn't believe. He had his reasons. That's why I want to talk with you guys on a personal level. But right here, I see my best friend that I didn't get the chance to witness to. I didn't get the chance to just say, hey, man, what's up? Why do you feel that way? Let's just talk about it, you know? Maybe I can help shed some light on the situation. Maybe I can share what God has placed in my heart, because I used to doubt. I used to be like, this ain't real, until it smacked me in the face, and I realized it was real. But we're going to pray right now, and we're going to pray together, but I'm going to pray individually. So let's just pray. Keep the music going. Go ahead and build up a little bit. Yep, you can sing the lyrics. Go ahead and sing the lyrics. Let the lyrics minister. Let's all pray together. There should be some awesome
things. Coming after me. Through the wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
found these in 99.
I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, You breathe your life in me. It's so, so good to me. Thank you. chains break at your name. There's love in your name, power in your name, peace in your name, grace in your name, forgiveness in your name. Peace in your name, joy in your name, power in your name, deliverance in your name. Revival, revival, revival in your name. Revival. Revival, revival in your name. Revival, revival, revival in your name. Oh, revival, revival, revival in your name. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, love has a name, love has a name, and it's Jesus, love has a name, love has a name, love has a name, power in your name, power in your name, power in your name. Chains will fall, chains will fall, chains will break, chains will be broken, chains will be broken in your name. Chains will be broken, chains will be broken, chains will be broken in your name. Chains will be broken, will be broken. Chains will be broken in your name. Chains will be broken.
Be seated. Let's get some instrumental worship going real quick. And I just want to say that I'm so proud of the five students that came up that took a lot of courage, a lot of strength. But what that says is, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live in this condition. I don't want to feel the way I'm feeling anymore. And you don't have to. You don't have to, guys. You don't have to. We're here for you. We love you. These are some of the most confusing, tumultuous, just crazy years of your life right now. Hormones are just raging. Your brain is developing. So right now, it's crazy. It can feel like, my gosh, what is going on? But if you surrender and trust God, I promise you, things get easier, things get better, things get more tolerable. Without him, I don't know how I did it so long without him. And to be honest with you, it was really dicey because I should have been dead a few times. But now I don't want to do it without, I can't do it without him. I don't want to do it without him. And that's where you got to get to the point to where you see your relationship with God, like God and the Holy Spirit, like he's more real to you than the people in this room. When God becomes more real to you than the people in this room, to where he is sitting right here, he's in the midst, that's when your relationship has evolved to where it needs to evolve. That's when you won't do the things that you are doing in the shadows and no one's around. So if I knew that God was real, would I be looking at, oh, God, hey, what are you doing there? I didn't know. How long you been there?
Mm-hmm.
God has got to become real to you for you to see and just experience His goodness and the accountability, all that's wrapped up into it. But first and foremost, it starts with your relationship, and it starts at your heart. Out of the heart. See, you can deceive, you can smile, you can wink and blink and do all these things. That's cute. But it's the heart that we search. The heart. So work on your hearts. Look in your heart and say, God, whatever's in my heart, I need to get it out of there. Whatever's not good. I sleep good at night. I used to not be able to sleep good at night. I'd just be tormented with thoughts and images and whatever because of all the things I entertained and brought into my life. I sleep like a baby now. I sleep good, you know, because I have the joy and the peace of God in my heart. And I want that for each and every one of you. Amen? Amen. What we got? Anything? Nothing? Good? What's that? Oh, the raffle? What are the tickets?